So today we start Siman Kuf Tzadi, which is Ksamim. The really good news is that there are two volumes of the Torah Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nida, and this begins volume two, which according to that measure we are halfway through Hilchos Nida. So if that's true, then we're working at a pretty good pace, and it means that we might actually learn Avelos this year, which would be really wonderful, because you know you have to know that stuff too. So Siman Kuf Tzadi is the longest siman in Hilchos Nida. There's a lot that is relevant l'maisa. There's a lot more that's not relevant l'maisa. We're not going to spend a month on Siman Kuf Tzadi. We're going to try to focus on those parts that are relevant l'maisa. I'll give you the basic outline of what it is, of what you can find there, and then you'll see what makes most sense to attack and to really get into. Today we're just doing an introduction to the idea of Ksamim. As I mentioned to a number of guys in the Beis Medrash, the best way to get a foundation for all of the discussions we're going to be having is just by starting the Zayin days and just learning the Perek. It's two dapim, just learning through the Gemara and the Perek, and then all of the rayas, pretty much all of the rayas and all the back and forth relates back to those sugyas. So that's the best way to get a background. But let's break it down a little bit further just to give you an idea of what appears in the siman. There are about eight topics in the siman. First is the difference between a kesem and nida d'oraisa, which you have to learn this in tandem with siman kuf pei gimel, which, again, if we were not going in order, that would be the logical way to do it. I assume that's what most other shiurim do. They learn kuf pei gimel together with si'if aleph of kuf tzadi, because you have to know what is nida d'oraisa, what is nida d'rabanan, how to differentiate between the two, because there are certain kulas that you have by ksamim, by stains, by nida d'rabanan. Those are all synonymous with each other. Ksamim, stains, nida d'rabanan. You have certain leniencies with nida d'rabanan that you don't have with nida d'oraisa. So just how you magdir, how do you know what's nida d'oraisa, what's nida d'rabanan? So that is the first topic, which includes why are we machmir for ksamim at all? What exactly is a hargasha, which we've already discussed? And the sources to see are Nun Zayin Amud Beis until Nun Ches Amud Aleph Ala Keva, Siman Kuf Pei Gimel in Shulchan Aruch, and Si'if Aleph of Siman Kuf Tzadi. The second topic is if a kesem is found on a davar that's not mekabel tuma, or a kesem that's found on big day tzivonim. Let's say you find a stain on karka olam, on the ground is not mekabel tuma, or you find a stain on colored clothing. So that you have to see Nun Ches Amud Aleph. And it comes up against Samach Aleph Amud Beis as well. Tan Rabbanan Beget Savua up until the Mishnah. So you have to skip ahead a little bit also. And that's going to be in Si'if Yud, in Kuf Tzadi Si'if Yud. That is very, very much Lamaisa. That's something we're going to spend time on. Then there's a topic of Ksamim B'Ketana. A katana who experiences a kesem, as you might imagine, we're not going to spend a great deal of time on this, but this is Kuf Tzadi Siv Beis, Siv Gimel, Siv Dalid. You have to go back to the Gemara and Daf Hey Amud Aleph for this, the Gemara and Daf Yud Amud Beis. So there is, it's a little bit earlier in the Masechta. It relates to some of the things we discussed when it comes to Vestos. But not really so nogeil lemaisa, because obviously our only interest in whether a woman is in nida or not is whether she's tahora lebaila, and most katanas in America are not married, so we don't really have that issue. The fourth topic is tlios, meaning where else blood could have come from. Other than the body, and when you can make the assumption that maybe she's not tameh because maybe the blood came from somewhere else. So that's also Nun Zayin Amud Beis, Nun Ches Amud Aleph from Ada Keva until a few lines later. And that's going to be, we're going to have to discuss that in detail also, Si'ifim Yir Aleph through Tes Zayin. And then we're also going to discuss a fifth topic, which is also very relevant, Lamaisa, is the sheer gris. The minimum size of a kesem in order for it to be a problem of tumah. So and why we have that minimum size and how you measure that minimum size. So the shear gris, I have, I think it starts. What is it? Yeah, but what's Simon and Shulchan Aruch? What's Sifin Shulchan Aruch? Sifhei, Sifches. Okay, so we have, look at the Olim Ken Yoshua Gris Va'od. So starting with Sifhei, so we're going to have to discuss that as well. And that's Nun Chesam Beis until the end of the parak. And then you have the topic of Eid HaBaduk, using a clean cloth. So that, I think, comes up later in the Siman. Lamed Gimel, Sif Lamed Gimel, until Lamed Tes. That's, you really have to see Daf Yedalad Amir Aleph, Yedalad Amir Beis, that goes back a little bit. Then we have Tlios, which we got into a little before, but that's going to be Sif Mem to Nun Gimel. And then we're going to have something we're not going to discuss at all, really, which is the Zayin Sammanim. The Zayin Sammanim is, if you're not sure if something is dam, there is like a whole way that the Gemara, that the Mishnah presents, that you can, detergents that you can put over the stain to ascertain whether it's dam or whether it's not dam, and that's going to be Si'if Lamed Aleph. But, you know, again, it's always nice to read through the Shulchan Aruch and Shach, at least, to read through the Shulchan Aruch and Shach of the whole Siman, but what we're actually going to focus on are those elements that are most halacha lemaisa, which obviously relates to the various leniencies that we have, bizman hazeh, relating to Ksamim. So let's get started. The introduction to Ksamim is to real, you know, is, it starts with the basic fact that we learned in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel that a woman is only needed daraisa if she had a hargasha. That only if a woman has dam that yotzim in a makar bihargasha, only then she needs the daraisa. If you recall, just to quickly chazer, we saw the pischi tshuva over there. The pischi tshuva over here relates to it, but the pischi tshuva over there gets into detail that there are three definitions in achronim for what hargasha means. That hargasha might mean, what are they? Remembers what they are. The good, the psichs hamakar, or the zivas davalach, or the nizdaz agufa. Right, those are the three possibilities of what hargasha are. All of them are difficult. All of them are difficult to apply bismanenu. It doesn't seem that we really have any of them. When a woman has a re'iyah with hargasha, then she is tameh. And we spent a lot of time discussing the idea of the chumra of Zera, that she tipas dam kachardel, she's going to require a shivah nekiyim ki ilu she's a zava gedola. Even though that is an impossibility, obviously with the tipas dam kachardel, she can't be a zava gedola. In order to be a zava gedola, you need three re'iyos on three consecutive days. So we had different approaches in the Rishonim that no, maybe it is possible. Maybe it went from the Bayis HaPerini to the Bayis HaChitzon in three tinier drops over 3 days, and then it just came out as one drop. Or maybe it's a low plug kind of thing. We had different, I think we had three or four different approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim. It had to understand why we would be Machmer Tibis Dam Chardel for Zav Gedola to require Shiva Nekim. But to be clear, That's explaining why you would require Shiva Nekim. To say that she's Tamei Midaraisa and that you're Chayiv Kareis for sleeping with her, right? That is not a Chumra Derek Zeva. Meaning a Tiba Stam Kechardel comes out with a Hargasha, so what does that make her? If it's Yumei Nida, it makes her Nida Doraisa, and if it's Yumei Ziva, it makes her a Zava Ketana. So it definitely makes her Tamei. And it could make her even a Nida Doraisa, or a Zavaktana Doraisa. Those are the two options. So she's definitely going to be Tameh, you're definitely going to be Chayiv Kares for being such a woman. The Chumra of Rabbi Zeira is that the Tahara process that we're going to get to in Siman Kuf Tzadivav that requires Shiva Nekiyim is always going to be required. That's the big Chumra of Rabbi Zeira, and we had the whole discussion about how you count Yumei Nida versus Yumei Ziva, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Shach thinking that the Levush is a Das Yachid because he's following the Rambam, everyone else screaming at the Shach that you don't know how to read a Levush. Okay, good, so we had all of that in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. Okay. Now, what we're going to talk about over here is, what if there's no hargasha? She just finds a stain somewhere. She finds dam on her underwear, on a sheet on Karka Olam, she sits on the ground and gets up, and there's a stain there. Right, that's the discussion for us. This is derived from a pasuk. This idea that she'll still be tamei on a derabbanan level is derived from the pasuk bivisara ad shetargish bivisara. That is the drasha of Shmuel. The nadbiyudin madura kama simin nun hey dibra maschel umeata nuchal proves from this drasha that hargasha doesn't have to be in the makar itself. Remember, we had this whole discussion. Is hargasha the shaking of the makar, or the opening of the makar? You know, the Rebbe wanted to argue. No, zivas davar lach mi bifnim is also a hargasha. And what zivas davar lach mi bifnim? That she feels the moisture flowing from the makar to the prosder, right, to the through the cervix to the vaginal canal, not outside of her body, but also not in the makar. She feels the moisture in the prosdar, and that also is a hargasha. How does Nota Bihuda prove that that's a hargasha from here? He says because the Gemara has two drushas from the word bivsara. Bivsara teaches us first of all ad shetargish bivsara that she needs to have a hargasha in order to become taminida. And it also teaches us that she's mitami mibifnim kibachutz, that when the dam is still mibifnim of her body, even though it's not yet outside of her body, she's still tame. Well, wait a second. Where does the dam have to be for her to be tame? It can't mean in the uterus. If it's still in the uterus, she's not tame. So where is it? It's outside of the uterus. Where? It's in the vaginal canal or the cervix. Wherever you draw the line, it's somewhere outside of the uterus, and that already makes it tame nida. And that's what the word bivsara means. That even when it's mibifnim, she's taminida. So that drasha of bivsara means that it's in the prosdar. So then for sure the other drasha, achetargish bivsara, the hargasha also can be in the prosdar. So says Nadav Yudi, you see it right from there, that a hargasha doesn't have to be in the makar. So she doesn't have to feel her uterus opening up. She doesn't have to feel her uterus shaking. She could feel the zivas davalach in the prosdar. That's how the Nadav Yehuda brings a raya. But again, it's based on this drasha, that bivsara chetargish bivsara. What's fascinating about this concept of the kesem, that without a hargasha, she's not tamenida, the Rif and the Rush quote this din, do not quote this din, that a woman is only tamei d'oraisa if she had a hargasha. The Rambam does, the Rambam Perek Tes, definitely, very clearly says that a woman is only tamei d'oraisa if she has hargasha. The Rif and the Rush do not. And that is troubling. So the Aruch Liner, on Nun Chesem Beis, Dibra Maschel Shetahora, the Aruch Liner suggests that they must hold that Ksamim, the whole din of Ksamim, is only for Taharos and not Labaila. So there's no Nafkamina L'Zman Hazeh, whether she's tamei d'oraisa or tamei midrabanan. Meaning to not say, if they're not going to mention, oh, by the way, without a hargasha, it's only tumah midrabanan. You need a hargasha for tumah d'oraisa. It must be because they don't think there's enough gemina between tumah d'oraisa and tumah d'rabanan. I'm sorry. Must be the opposite. That they hold that ksamim is only for taros and not labaila. So there's no enough gemina for the whole din that there is tumah d'rabanan bizman hazeh. That's what the Aruch Liner suggests. The Sidrei Tara in Sivkat and Sadi Gimel over here in Sum Kuf Tzadi points out that this isn't the only drasha. Rav Ashi and Daf Nun Chesam El Beis, you'll get to, disagrees with the Din Hargasha. You have to read that carefully. And many Rishonim, including Rashi and Tosfos, hold this way, that the Din Hargasha is not as Shmuel presents it, and that's why the Rif and the Rush don't mention it.
What the din for Rav Ashi,
so we'll get to Rav Ashi. That's a shame. We'll get there. The other daya to be aware of is Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva also has a drasha that tells us that you're only tamei midaraisa if it's not a kesem, if it has something more significant than a kesem. Rabbi Akiva says dam velo kesem. So we're going to have to see what that means. The Rush quotes that Rush of Rabbi Akiva, Dam Velo Kesem. So says the Tshuva Shav Yaakov, that's why he doesn't have to quote Bivsara Achetarigish Bivsara, because it's the same Drasha. dam velo kesem is the same thing as atra targush b'vesara. Because what does velo kesem mean? Velo kesem versus a kesem is versus a hargasha. And we'll have to see what the alternative is. Is there any way to say that Rabbi Akiva is saying a different trasha and would follow, and would have a nafkamina? The Aruch Linar then says that, you know what, the Rif has to paskin like Shmuel. He has to paskin that there's a difference between Argasha and no Argasha, that Argasha midaraisa is mitame midaraisa without Argasha still midrabanan, because the Rambam does. And the Rif and the Rambam always agree. I mean, who tells you that the Rif and the Rambam always agree? The Rambam tells you that the Rif and the Rambam always agree, right? The Rambam in his Hakdama says, I always agree to the Rif, except for three places or something, even though there are obviously more than three. But nevertheless, the default is that the Rambam always agrees with the Rif. So the Rif doesn't quote it because she's only Tamei Midrabanan, she's still going to be Tamei Midrabanan even without Argasha, says the Aruch Linar. And this is what I was trying to say before, I accidentally said this before when I was saying the first day of the Aruch Linar, but says the Aruch Linar, another possibility of why the Rif doesn't quote it is because, of course, the Rif holds that she's Tamei Midrabanan without Argasha, but there's no nafkamina whether she's Tamei Midrabanan or Tamei Daraisa. So there's no nafkamina whether we pass like Shmuel or not. Either way, she's Tamei. What difference does it make whether finding Kesem is Mitamei or Midaraisa or Mitamei or Midrabanan? And the Rambam quotes halachos that are not nogea lemaisa as well, so the Rambam quotes it. Now that is a very, very, very difficult position to take for the obvious reason.
There's tons of
nafkaminas. That's what we have a whole simon about, right? We have lots and lots of nafkaminas between Tumah Daraisa and Tumah Darabanan. Dinim of Tliya and of Pachas Mikagris and of Bigdei Tzivonim and of Dvarim Shenim Mekabim Tumah. We're going to get to all these things. There are lots and lots of nafkaminas. Also, the Torah quotes Shmuel, and the Torah also only quotes things that are halacha lemaisa. So to use the fact that the Rambam quotes things that are not halacha lemaisa, and the Rif doesn't, to explain why the Rif doesn't mention Shmuel and the Rambam does, is a little bit difficult, because the Torah quotes Shmuel. So obviously, we understand that Shmuel is halacha lemaisa. Okay, so for whatever reason, even though the Rif and the Rush do not quote Shmuel, but we do, meaning the Rambam does, and that's what we assume in Shulchan Aruch, and that's what Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Kuf Tzadi Sefalv, Tvar Torah, Ein Isha Metama Velo Asur Labayla, Ad Shetargish Sheyotza Dami Besara, V'chachamim Gozer Al Kol Kasem Shnipsa Beguf Abu Begdeh, She Tmeya V'Asur Labayla, Afi Lo Hirgisha. Right, that even without Argasha. So we're leaving out what the Rif and the Rush do or don't do. Bottom line is, it's certainly something that we are concerned with, that we assume to be correct, the drasha of Shmuel. So now let's get down to the nuts and bolts of Ksamim. The Chachamim made a siyag that even if she finds a stain on her body, a stain, I should have mentioned that, right? The stain could be on clothing, it could be on the ground, or it could be on her body, it could be on her thigh, it could be somewhere else on her body. She can be tamei even without a hargasha. Fundamental machlokas rishonim as to the reason for the siyag. Why did the Chacham enact such a din if on a daraisa level she is absolutely tahora? So this is a machlokas, Rashi and Tosel Staf Nun Ches Amar Aleph in Meseches Nida. Rashi and Nun Ches Amar Aleph, Dibur Maschel Midrabanan, says that Dilma Argasha V'Lavadaita, that she might have a Hargasha and not realize that she had a Hargasha, and therefore when she doesn't have Hargasha and she found Dam, we're going to say, you think you didn't have Hargasha, you were just too distracted, you have too much else going on in your life, but maybe you did have Hargasha, you just weren't paying close enough attention, right? Sometimes, Mashal Madav Doma, your phone buzzes and you didn't even notice, but it was buzzing, you checked, it was on vibrate. Many other times, you felt it buzzing, but it's Shabbos, you didn't even have your phone on. Right? Sometimes you're living a distracted life and you're not really so attuned to whatever it is that you're feeling on your body. So, Dilma Argasha V'Lavadaita. Maybe she had a Hargasha and she didn't realize it. Tosfos understands, Tosfos is medayik from Rashi, that if she knows for sure that there was no Hargasha, then she would not be Tamei. Meaning that if she can say, no, I was sitting there meditating, I was practicing meditation, I was doing my yoga or whatever, and I was in and I was totally zoned in on the inner workings of my body. I'm not taking a stance on yoga, mutter, asr now. But Rebelsky holds asr, by the way. I just found over Shabbos. Someone asked, okay, I got it. Someone asked me, a guy came over to me in shul and asked me on Shabbos if he can participate in the, he has a niece with some sort of variation of Lyme disease, and she's in a lot of pain, and they want to do the pigeon thing on her belly, and he wants to know if he can participate in that.
What?
What? Right, exactly. The what? So, how many of you heard of the pigeon thing on the belly? No, pigeon. You go and you buy 15 pigeons, about, and then you don't know that you can eat all 15. You may be able to release them. Then you you pluck the feathers off of the pigeon's bottom, and then you put the pigeon on the belly of the person very gently, and then the pigeon chokes and dies. And you keep doing that till the pigeon stops choking and dying, because the pigeon is taking all of the choli out of the person. That's the mahalich. That's what they do. So you want to know if he's allowed to participate in such a proven medical procedure. So I was like, I can't think of a safer than to have that, like we discussed this, except Belsky wrote a kuntras on alternative medicine, where he just, you know, it's all just him stories of him like totally humiliating the practitioners of the, like it's the footnotes have some details in the halacha, but it's mostly like his conversations with people who do these things and him saying, yeah, where are your numbers? Oh, the American Medical Association got a hold of all of your evidence and destroyed it. Oh, that's convenient, you know, like all of these kinds of weird conversations. But he does not have the pigeon thing in the in that book. But in that book, he does talk about yoga. Right, that's how I came across it yesterday. So he says, you know, all these sun salutations and things like that. That was a cleaned up version of sun worship, which is what it used to be, right? All of the moves and things like that. So, all right, anyway, that's for a different time.
Is it
like I said, that's it. We'll discuss a different. No, it's not. But let's talk. It might be us bow down to idols because that's considered a derech avoda, because that's how we do avoda. So how did I get? I have no idea. Oh, meditating. Yeah. So she's like, I was meditating, and I know for sure that I didn't have Aragasha. Says Tosos, Rashi would tell you, the whole concern is Dilma Aragasha Vlavadaita. Well, if she's totally in touch with what she's feeling, well, then that would never happen. And she would know that she didn't, if she knows she didn't have Aragasha, so she's Tahora. The Lechem V'Simla and the Paradis Rimonim just point out that Mehichi Tesi, that Rashi says that. Meaning Rashi just says the reason there were gozer ksamim is because Dilma Aragasha Vlavadaita. Does that mean that if you have a woman that knows for sure that she didn't have Aragasha, that she's exempt from this din d'rabbanan? No, most women might have a situation of argush of lavadaita, and therefore a chacham more goes there for everybody that they have ksamim, which I thought was the pashut reading of Rashi. No, I didn't think Rashi was leaving anything open for negotiation. That if she could tell you she didn't have argush, that she's fine. I thought Rashi was saying like the lechem asim understood, not like Tos understood Rashi. That of course it's a low plug. There are many women that won't be sure, so it goes there on all stains. However, Tosfos has a second approach. Tosfos holds that they simply were goes there that any dam that she sees, regardless of a possibility of Hargasha, whether there is or isn't a possibility of Hargasha, is going to be Tameh, because they were concerned, and this is how the Achronim tied it up, because they were concerned that if we were Metaher without Hargasha, women might come to be Metaher with a Hargasha as well. Meaning a woman might say, you know, sometimes when I get my period, it feels a certain way, and sometimes I don't have that feeling, but I'm still getting my period, and I know that I'm getting my period. And she's not going to be mechalik whether she has Hargasha or didn't have Hargasha. She's not going to associate that with whether she's Tamei. She's going to say, I got my period, so I'm Tamei. So since women are not going to make that distinction on their own, so Chazal said, so we're just going to say that whenever you get your period, whenever you have dam, dam comes out of the body, we're always going to assume that you are Temeya. So those are the two deos, Rashi and Tosos. But that's just very fundamental in terms of why, what the motivation was to be Gozer. But let's get into the what, which is obviously what we spend more time on. There is a Chakira in the Achronim. There's a chakir in the achronim. Which achronim? In the Sidrei Tara, in Kuf Tzadi, Sivkat Tzadi Gimel, Dibra Maschil, Vitera Machala. And he quotes a Chuvus Maram Lublin, Simin Beis. And he spends a lot of time on this. Sidrei Tara really goes through it. You know, look, I don't know if you're going to go through the whole thing, but the Sidrei Tara really goes through this issue. And he discusses the following. He discusses the following chakira. Quoting from Aram Lublin. I'm not finding it right now, but we'll find it later. But he quotes from the Aram Lublin the following chakira. Are the heterim of Ksamin, or the heter of Ksamin, the fact that she's not Tamei Daraisa when there's no Hargasha, on account of the possibility that the Dam didn't actually come, Migufa, right? Meaning you don't know where the Dam came from, might not have come Migufa. Or is Ksamin a Gzeres HaKasav, that even if it did come Migufa, but there was no Hargasha, so Mele, she's not Tamei Minatar. Meaning, when we say that there was no Hargasha, does that now raise the possibility that the Dam didn't come Megufa, and that's why she might not be Tame? Or do we say, no, the fact that there's no Hargasha, even if I know that the Dam came Megufa, it's the Hargasha itself that defines Nididaraisa. Very similar to the Chakira, I think we mentioned Kof Pei Gimel, is Hargasha a Simen or is it a Siba? Right? Is Hargasha the definition of Nida? Or is lack of Hargasha a simen that maybe this Dam came from elsewhere? Now, within that first possibility, is that or some on account of the possibility that the Dam didn't come Migufa? So normally you would think that, okay, let's say there's a possibility that it didn't. What would that make this? Savik Daraisa. Meaning, if you're going to say like the first Tzad, any Dam that you know comes Migufa, Tamei Midaraisa, I don't care if you had Hargasha or not. Elamai, I'm not really sure if it came Megufa. So, shouldn't you say Savik Daraisa L'chumra? So, that's the Gzeres HaKasav. The Gzeres HaKasav is that you could be Mekil on this Savik Daraisa. Then normally you would follow the rules of Savik Daraisa L'chumra. Bivisara Achet Targish Bivisara tells you that even though it's a Safik, you don't have to be Machmir on the Savik Daraisa. This seems to be assuming that Savik Daraisa L'chumra is a din Daraisa. That's why I need a pasuk to tell me to be mekel on a Savik Daraisa. That, of course, is a major machlokes rishonim, whether Savik Daraisa L'chumra is din Daraisa or din Darabanan. But it would be similar to, this Sidrei Torah points out, what the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Gimel says that we have a Gzeres HaKasav that we're matir a Savik Mamzer. Isn't a Savik Mamzer a Savik Daraisa? Yeah, Gzeres HaKasav that we're matir. What would otherwise be something that we would have to be machmir about? And this would mean that even if it is highly unlikely that it came from anywhere else other than her body, it would still be Tara Midaraisa. That's the Gzeres HaKasav. It doesn't have to be a reasonable possibility. Lack of Hargasha means that it's a possibility, even if it's not a likely possibility. Why do I say that? Because if it's a likely possibility that it came from somewhere else, she's not even Tamei Midrabana. Meaning one of the leniencies that we're going to have about a kesem is if a woman finds a stain, let's say on her bed sheet, she wakes up in the morning and on the sheet there's a stain, and she knows that she scraped her knee, she fell on the treadmill the day before and she scraped her knee, and it might have been bleeding, and she doesn't know if the stain came from inside of her body or from the knee or from her knee, and that's a reasonable possibility. She's Torah even Midrabanan. She's totally Torah. So if it's an actual likely possibility, she's really Torah, even on a Drabanan level. So what's enough to make her Torah Midaraisa? Even an unlikely possibility. And lack of Hargasha raises that possibility. So even if it's highly unlikely that it came from anywhere else, and it's really referring to the Gemara that way, that it's highly unlikely, because what does the Gemara say? That she's batka karka olam, she looks at the ground, there's nothing on the ground, she sits, she has a kumzitz or whatever, stands up from sitting on the ground, looks at the ground again, and there's dam there. And what do we call that? A kesem. That's not nididaraisa. Why? Because, who knows, maybe it came from somewhere else. Unlikely, it was clean beforehand, very unlikely, but that's it. It doesn't even have to be a reasonable possibility that it came from somewhere else. That's tzad echad of the chakira, right? Tzad echad is that hargasha is not a definition, hargasha is an indication that the dam might not have come from her body, or lack of argasha is an indication that the dam might not have come from her body, and mimele, if it didn't come from her body, she might be tahora. That's the gzeres hakasuv that we could be making. And sad too is the more straightforward one, which is that if you have argasha, you're tame. If you don't have argasha, then you're not a nida. Even though we know the blood came from your body, without argasha, there's no tumas nida. What are the nafkaminas? So the Maramu Ublin, again, all this according to Sidri Tara, says that if argasha is necessary to ascertain the source of the blood when there's a suffek argasha, because she might have been margish meraglayim, let's say, she was urinating. So she felt something. She did feel moisture, but she doesn't know. Was she also feeling moisture of damnida? So then she would be tahora misafik. If the whole point of hargasha is just to ascertain the source of the blood, she would be tahora misafik, because you still have the safik. Meaning she had a hargasha, but it could have been hargasha's meraglayim, so you still have that safik that maybe it didn't come from inside of her body. But if hargasha is just needed as exeris hakasav, that she can only be a nida by hargasha, she would be tamea, even if you can be told about hargasha's meraglayim. Because bottom line is, the dam came from her body and she had a hargasha at the time. So you would say, safidah raisa l'chumra. Yeah, maybe the hargasha was from something else, but that, you would say, safidah raisa l'chumra. Because she did have hargasha. That's what Maram Lublin suggests. You could argue on the nafkamina, as you're about to.
No, I was going
to
ask you.
Oh, okay. So I'll repeat it, then you'll argue. Maram Lublin suggests that if you hold that hargasha is just an indicator, it's necessary to just be able to figure out the source of the blood, whether it came from inside of her or not. So when there's a suffic hargasha, such as a situation where there was hargasha's meraglayim at the same time, she was urinating at the same time, so you don't know where the, you know, whether the hargasha was from dam or from the meraglayim, she would be tahora because you still have the same suffix. It still might have come from outside of her body. But if you hold that hargasha is part of the definition of nidam, exeris hakasav, then she can only be a nida bahargasha. She would be tamea, even if you could be told of meraglayim. Why? Because if you're told of meraglayim, it might have been the meraglayim, but it might not have been. So that's just a straight suffix d'oraisa. I mean, according to the first side, you don't say Savitaraisa l'chumra on this. What do you say? We have Xeris HaKasav, that if you're Masupik, whether it came Megufa or outside of Megufa, you could assume it came from the outside. Xeris HaKasav, you could be Mekel. But according to the second side, all the rules of Suffix still apply, it's just that Hargasha is part of the definition of Nida. So she had Hargasha, but she's just not sure whether the Hargasha counts. So therefore, we're going to be Machmir on the Suffix. So so the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, there's a big machlok we showed him, Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, if she had hargasha and didn't find anything, right, what is it, lo matzo klum, after hargasha, yesh misha omer shehi tameya. Right? So according to the first side, you're saying, does that make any sense? That she would be tameya. Meaning,
they're the only thing you have is hargasha, and you don't have any.
You don't have the actual dot. Meaning, it's the reverse, though. Meaning, when you don't have argasha, that's a raya that the dam might have come from somewhere else. But when you had argasha, maybe that's an indication that there must have been dam. Meaning it could be that's an independent discussion. That a hargasha is a solid raya. Now, hargasha's meraglayim, no one would say she's tamea. Right? Without dam. That shows up also. If she has argasha's meraglayim, and she sees meraglayim.
According to the second, according to that nachmina that Maharam brings, if she had a suffix argasha and didn't find anything, would that...
A suffic argasha?
She had a suffic argasha and didn't find it.
His suffic argasha means she had argasha's meraglayim. So obviously, every time a woman goes to the bathroom, she has argasha's meraglayim. So obviously, you're not going to say if she doesn't find any dam that I'm going to be choshish that there was dam there. That would be crazy. That would mean that a woman would have to, you know, not go to the bathroom for 2 weeks. Another point the Sidre Tara points out, another nafkamina. Is Tosus and Zayin and Beis Zivra Maschal Aroa says that if a kesem has been there for a long time, we're choshesh that she had a hargasha and forgot about it, but not if it's a brand new kesem. So he tainas that distinction between whether it's been there for a long time or not makes sense if you hold that hargasha is exeris hakasav and not based on a real chashash that it came from elsewhere, that it's just part of the definition of nida. But if hargasha just verifies that it came from her body, why would it matter how long the stain has been there? Again, that one also not so clear to me. You know, what's he trying to tie in? That the distinction between a stain that's been there for a while and a stain that's brand new is only mistaver if you hold that hargasha is the definition of nida, and you know that it came from the body. But even though you know it came from the body, it's just the definition of nida. So now you're going to tell me, okay, but if it's here for a long time, maybe she forgot about her hargasha. But if your hargasha verifies that it came from her body, it shouldn't matter how long the stain has been there. What should matter is how realistic is it that it came from anywhere but her body or not. That's his suggestion. You could argue that no, the likelihood of forgetting the hargasha, and therefore forgetting the raya, you know, whether the indicator of whether she's a nida, is you know, is the same regardless of which side of the chakira you hold.
Yeah. But according to this first tzad, if you have a suffix, you can go the kula based on...
Right, meaning what he's doing is he's creating a situation of suffix, right? Meaning the idea that once you have a suffix, you could be mekel, right? That's probably what he's saying. That once you have a suffix, you could be mekel. That's really the two tzadim of the shayla, right? Is there a gzeiras hakasav that you can be mekel on any suffix? Or is it no, that you treat it like a suffix d'araisa l'chumra? Then the Sidrei Torah suggests, Dibra Maschel v'nira li, that it's a nafkamina for tumah v'tahara. See, if hargasha is just a gzeres hakasov, the dam will still be metame taros because we paskin makar makom otame. Meaning, what are we saying? That the dam came from her body. I know the dam came from her body. She's still not a nida. You know why? Because hargasha is the definition of what makes her a nida. Okay, but if the dam came from the makar, then the dam is tame. So whatever the dam hits, whatever the dam lands on, is going to become tame because the makar makom otame. The uterus is actually tame. So if it's blood from the uterus without a hargasha, she might not be tame on a daraisa level, but the blood is tame. But if you hold that lack of hargasha means that I have the right to assume what? That the blood didn't come from inside of her, it came from somewhere else. Ah, well then, whatever the blood hits isn't going to be tame either. Because that blood could just be dam, you know, from the slaughterhouse or something. It could be dam from anywhere else. It's not dam min ha-makar, so there's no tumah on that dam. So chapanaf kamina, as far as tumah and tahara is concerned, he has a lot more to say on this, but it's just like some basic nafkaminas. Yeah.
Isn't there a big nafkamina nowadays? Just find their underwear.
Right. So luchora, that should be a big nafkamina because where else could it possibly have come from? But I don't know if that's so different than karka olam. Meaning, you could argue that that's very similar to budka karka olam. Didn't find anything. It doesn't have to be a reasonable possibility. Maybe there was a bug in her underwear that got squashed or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's not the generally accepted opinion. So.
That's a pretty crazy
taliyah.
You can create
any. That's the point. A taliyah is a kula that works even for ksamin. We're just trying to make something not need the daraisa and bring it down to the level of kesef. So what you're only saying is, oh, but doesn't Rav Shechter write in the Nimr of Salvechik that any dam found in the underwear is a re'iya daraisa and is not a kesem? Nobody holds that way. Meaning, I realize where we are and everything, but I mean, everyone who looks at Shailas, you know, and Begadim is looking at a kesem in the underwear, right? They're not looking at a re'iya, a real re'iya, right? That's like, so... I mean, and there are two, let's just be very clear about this. What we're discussing now is just defining the difference between nida daraisa versus kesem. Taliyah is defining the difference between a kesem that we're going to say she's tameh and a kesem that she's not tameh because it likely came from somewhere else. So the case where she scraped her knee, that's a taliyah. Over here, the case of badka karka olam, and she finds dam, that's a kesem. There's no taliyah. There's no other logical possibility where it came from. So we're going to get into that. The answer is depends, but it very likely could be a kesem. Very likely could be a kesem. L'chora should depend on this, right? Because if she's mamish pulling it megufa, so it's hard to say it didn't come megufa, right? So how do we pass it? So that's be a good enough kamina, toilet paper. So how do we pass it? So it seems that the majority of major rishonim hold that without hargasha, there's no nida min ha-Torah. meaning that Hargasha is part of the definition of Nida Daraisa. The Rambam in the ninth paragraph of Yisurei Bia, the Rambam writes, V'im lo hirgisha ubadko umatza adam lifnim bipruzder hareza becheskas shebar bahargasha. If she does a bedika and finds dam internally in the prosdar, then it's becheskas that there was a hargasha. Implying that because if there wasn't, she's not tame, even though you know it came migufa. The Ramban in Hilchos Nida Dalet Aleph says, "Eini isha metame min haTorah ad shetargish b'sha'a she'adam yotzi b'vsara." And the Rashba in Mishmar Sabayis also sounds this way. The Sidri Torah proves, however, that Rashi and Tosfos disagree. That Rashi and Tosfos hold that even without a hargasha, if you know that the blood came from her body, she's tamei. And he goes on to say, and that's because Rashi and Tosfos passing against Shmuel, unlike Rav Ashi. Meaning, within Shmuel, he says you have to say the first tzad. Achetargish b'sarim means that it's a definition. I guess that was our second tzad. Whatever, you have to say like the Rav Rishon, that it's the definition of nida. But Rashi and Tosfos, who the Sifrei Torah tries to prove, hold otherwise, that it's not the definition of nida, that it's just an indicator, a hargasha, lack of hargasha is an indicator that it might have come from somewhere else. That's assuming like Shitas Rav Ashi and not like Shitas Shmuel. But bottom line is, all the major Rishonim, major poskim among the Rishonim, the major ones we follow from Pesach Halacha, seem to assume that hargasha is part of the definition. And this Chakira though relates to a lot of things though. It relates to the source of how we know that Kesem is not Tamei Min HaTorah. Right, the Gemara in Chesam and Beis, we mentioned before, brings it to Rabbi Kiva Darshins. V'isha kasiya zava dam ya zava b'vesara dam v'lo kesem. And on the Zayin and Beis, we quote Shmuel b'vesara achetargish b'vesara. Two different drashas. Is it dam v'lo kesem or is it achetargish b'vesara? So the Rashba in Taras Habayis, Zayin Dalid, at least as the Aruch Lener understands him, understands that both drashas teach the exact same thing. Meaning he quotes both drashas together, so they're just saying the same thing. It's two ways of saying the same thing. Tomato, tomato. Right? There's no nafkamina. However, the Sidrei Torah argues, Dibra Masa V'lchei Nir L'Anias Daiti, he says that one drasha teaches that if she isn't sure whether it came Meguf or Mibuchutz, she's Torah Min HaTorah. The other drasha teaches that even if she knows that it came in Gufa, but it was without Argasha, she's Torah Min HaTorah. I mean, Rabbi Akiva says, Dam V'lo Kesem. Dam V'lo Kesem meaning, if she doesn't know where it came from, she's Torah Min HaTorah. Shmuel builds on that. Shmuel says, Achetargish B'Vesara! You know it comes in Gufa! And still you're going to be Torah Min HaTorah because there's no Argasha. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva provides us with one side of the Chakira, that maybe it's just a matter of figuring out where it came from. And Shmuel says, no, even if you know where it came from, but you need a hargasha. This also may impact on the effect of ksamim on vestos. The Ravid in Balei Nefesh in Shara Ksamim, Gimel Chavtes, writes that a kesem does not begin a vestos. Right? We just discussed this. The Levush in Kuf Tzadi Sif Nundal, it says that an Eid HaBaduk is Kovei HaVeses, because by an Eid HaBaduk you know, meaning you take a bedika cloth and insert it and pull out some blood, you know for sure that the blood came out today. That implies that the reason Ksamim are not Kovei HaVeses is that the blood could have been there for a while. Right? But in the case of a Kesem that she knows certainly came Megufa, there's a machlokas achronim, whether it's koveya vesis or not. Rabbi Kiveger in Tshuvas, Nadir Kamasim Pei Aleph, says that if she has a kesem but she knows that it came megufa, that counts toward a vesis. Whereas the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch Harav, Kuf Tzadi Kuf Chav Beis, says that it doesn't impact vesis. Why would it or wouldn't it? Because if you hold that the whole purpose of kesem is just to determine whether it came in gufa or not, so then you would understand potentially at least, that once you know it's migufa, so that's the same as a real riyas dam, so that's going to be kovei aveses. But if you hold that, it doesn't matter whether it came migufa, even if I know it came migufa, but there was no hargasha, it's just a kesem. So then it's not going to impact the aveses. The really difficult trick to pull off, which I think we discussed, I thought we discussed in Kofi Gimel, maybe we'll just discuss now, because this was like the thing on the Bechina that a lot of guys were getting thrown off by. The real difficult trick is to figure out, now that we don't have Hargasha anymore, so why is a woman ever Tamei Midaraisa? And how do I know when she's Tamei Midaraisa and only Tamei Midrabana? Meaning, how do I know when to count something as a Kesem and when to count something as a real Nita Daraisa? So I think we discussed the first part of that in Kofi Gimel. Right? Why in the world would she still be Tamei Midaraisa now that we don't have Hargasha? Right? So I think we have this possibility that, well, when she gets her period, there's no doubt that that's what Nita Daraisa, that's the very definition of Nita Daraisa, that she gets her period, that she gets a regular period. The whole need for Hargasha to use as a measuring stick is when we're not really sure if it's her period or not. Plus, when a woman does something that might be covering up a Hargasha and finds some blood as she's doing something that could be masking, blocking her attention from the Hargasha, such as Hatalas Meiraglayim, such as Tashvish Shamita, such as inserting a bedika cloth, when she's doing things like that, that could, that if she had Hargasha, she wouldn't even know, because there's something internally, sticking a tampon inside of herself, internally something's going on, we're always going to assume probably that could be there was a Hargasha and therefore need to daraisa. That's what we assume la halacha generally, that if a woman's getting her period, and she knows it's her period, it's need to daraisa. That if a woman had something inserted in her body that could have somehow blocked her attention of the Hargasha, even though we know that there isn't even Hargasha now, if it comes out with any blood, tibis dam chardal, need the daraisa. So everyone holds that if a woman comes with a bedika cloth and there's a drop of red blood on the bedika cloth, everyone holds need the daraisa. We don't start saying, oh, well, it's smaller than a penny, maybe there's some sort of taliyah. We don't get into that. Anything that was inserted, need the daraisa. That's easy. It's not easy as far as logically explaining based on how we just defined Hargasha being the definition of Nida. It's not easy to explain why that's the case. But that is the case, and that's universally accepted. So that's easy to figure out, right? If a woman wants to know, if a woman says, let's say, oh, I heard that if you wear colored clothing, it stops you from being a Nida, so I'm just going to wear colored underwear every time I'm expecting my period, and then I'll never be a Nida, that's ridiculous, right? Why is that ridiculous? Because when you're in Nida Daraisa, it doesn't help to wear colored clothing. That only helps for Nida Drabanan, for Ksamin. So it's very easy to figure out when a woman's getting her period or when she inserted something that she's a Nida Daraisa. It's also very easy to figure out that if a woman is in the middle of her Shivanakiyan, she got her period, her period was over, now it's 5 days later, and she's planning to go to the mikveh in a couple of days, and there's a little bit of a stain on her underwear, or there's a little bit of a stain on her towel, right? That's easy also. What's that? That's a kesa. Right? Those are the easy ones to figure out. Is it a ri'iyah or is it a kesa? Where it gets much, much, much more complicated is if a woman herself isn't sure, is this my period or not? And sometimes she's expecting her period in a week from now. Not right now. A week from now. Or 5 days from now. And she started to stain consistently. You know, she's seeing like a bunch of blood. Not as much as normally when I get my period. It's not like my regular period. But it's not just a little stain either. It's like this. It's more. It's more. It's something more. So it's somewhere in between what we would easily categorize as a kesem and what we would easily categorize as nida daraisa. If you were a rabbi in Talmudic times and someone would ask you such a shaila, you would only have to ask them one question. Right? If a woman were to say, I found not quite a flow, but more than a stain on my underwear. So what would you ask? Did you have Hargasha? If she says yes, it's a daraisa. If she says no, it's only a kesef. We can't ask that question because no one has our gashas. Except for, you know, the two women we spoke about. It's rare that anyone has hargashas. So we can't ask that question. So that's why this is the most difficult shaila in Hilchos Nida to Paskin. Right? It's the most challenging thing in all of Hilchos Nida to Paskin. So for a while, Rabbi Willig had a geder that he was going with. I don't know if he still goes with it. That if a woman feels that she needs to put in a pad because it's she doesn't want that kind of staining in her underwear, then it's already enough that's needed d'oraisa. That's a flow, meaning based on quantity. I heard from Talmidim of Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe used to say, you have to look at the size of the stain. If the size of the stain is larger than half of a dollar bill, or some have the nusach, larger than the size of four quarters, which is roughly half of a dollar bill, then it's a real flow, it's needed d'oraisa. All of these gedarim are shaky because they're not based on anything. Meaning it's based on just trying to figure out whether there's a flow or not. Rabbi Willig's is particularly challenging for two reasons. First of all, different women have different sanitary habits. Some women, as soon as they see anything, will put a pad in. They just don't like to have anything on their underwear. And some women are like, all right, it's all going to the wash anyway. So they're not going to put a pad in unless it's mom's going to be dripping through their clothing. So you're going to tell me that the second woman's not in need and the first woman isn't? I mean, come on, that can't be. And to complicate matters further, word got out of how Rabbi Willig defines these halachos and all of his talmidim. So there are women that will like change their underwear 16 times a day, so that is rather than put it in a pad, and they'll just keep staining that underwear. That's ridiculous. Obviously, you can't game the system that way. So it's very, very difficult to use that as a hagdara, as like a definition of what nida is. And even Rav Moshe quantifies it a little bit more, so that's, you know, a little more helpful because he's giving you a number, you know, like a measurement, but it's not really based on, you know, tibestam kachadil is metameh, right? That's the din. A tibestam kachadil, if it's a flow. So it's challenging. With nothing else to work with, I personally will use Rav Moshe's Hagdara when I have nothing else to work with. But very often there is what else to work with. Meaning, where does this happen most frequently, at least that I find, is that a woman missed a pill. All right, one of the questions on the Bechina, you know, she didn't know what to do on Yom Kippur, so she didn't take a pill on Yom Kippur. And she took one after, and it was like 6 hours late, and it messed her up a little bit, so she started seeing that. But not like a flow of blood, it was like a stain. But a big stain, a lot of stain, and it was going on for like 4 days. So is that a need or is that not a need? So how are we magdir that? Right? That is a very, very challenging shaila. Or, for example, there are women that are on pills that that kimat make it that they never get their period. There are pills that make it that, or IUDs that make it that they never get their period. What does it mean they never get their period? The doctor will use those words, which is such, she has to really differentiate between what is medical and what is halachic. The doctor will say, you're never going to get your period on this. And every month, she bleeds a little bit. What we would normally definitely call a stain, but it happens every month, right when she is supposed to get her period, she has a tiny little bit of blood. So Rav Willig says what I think is most mistaver. If the halach is tibestam kechardel, makes her a nida, midaraisa, and she happens to only see a tibestam kechardel every month, well then that's her period. Meaning midaraisa. Rabbi Willig then said something that was beyond, right, that went even further, which we mentioned the other day, that even if it's brown, that makes her a midaraisa. Wow, that's already... Why? You have to assume it was red when it was inside and it turned brown afterwards because we know this is her period, so how could you possibly make it? I would say the first half seems to be something that's very, very, very reasonable. It makes a lot of sense to la'alacha. Second half is a chiddush that you need shoulders like Rabbi Willig. But as far as the shaila of the woman on Yom Kippur who just missed a pill or whatever, So you have to, even though this isn't really a hagdara in halacha, but you're just trying to feel out the situation, when was the last time you got your period? If it was a week ago, it's unlikely that this is another period. If it was a month ago, it's very likely. That is not a halachic statement. But we're just trying to feel out, but neither is how often, you know, would you put in a pad a halachic statement? Right? We're just trying to figure out how likely is this, that this is, you know, that this is your cycle, that this is your flow of da. Yeah, so that's obviously very, very much Nogia L'maisa. Was there anything else on the Bechina that I asked along those lines that was...
Yeah?
Right. Oh, so she's experiencing cramps. Or I even had one case on the Bechina, I think, where a guy told me his wife was experiencing some slight staining, and then a month later, he sends me the same thing. So in that case, the first month, I said, that's a kesset. Second month, ooh, maybe not. If this is happening every month, then probably now we have to treat it like Nidoraisa. Where it gets challenging is, wait a second. So last month, meaning we go with what the halacha says. The halacha says that we're allowed to treat that as a kesef. The halacha says that once we see a trend developing, then we have to treat it like Nidoraisa. And we don't think back like that. That's what we have to do. But yeah, meaning I would think that those kinds of things are indicators to try to figure out, is she actually getting her period or not? Again, that's not a halachic statement. It's because this whole thing is non-halacha. That's why it's the most challenging thing. Rabbis are good with dealing with halacha, but we have to sort of like feel it out and figure out whether this is this nida daraisa or only dinim kesavim. What we didn't get to, and what we're going to get to tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, kesef mishnah and taz is kasha. So you got to see taz sivkat and beis. Kesef Mishnah, Torah Hashlamim Os Aleph, a Lebedik discussion about how Kesavim works. Shouldn't we always be Mekel because it's always a Svek Sveka? Is a fascinating Nadav Yehuda. And then maybe we'll get into the Lamdus of one more Chakira that Rav Soloveitchik has relating to Kesavim as well. And then after that, we'll start actually learning the Halacha. Okay.